So if you think about worship and its relationship to uses or function, and you come back to the definition of the divine human that's provided in Divine Love and Wisdom, which is love, wisdom, and use. So then you kind of bring things back to first things first, and then those things which follow. And what I mean by that is that worship and service and use, their meanings are very closely interrelated. So to serve God is to worship God. But the idea that worshiping God is merely external formal ritual and prayers and listening to sermons and that sort of thing misses the mark, because that is a support for the worship of God. It is not the worship of the Lord itself, because to worship or to serve the Lord is to look to the same ends as the Lord has. So the end is the salvation of the human race or the regeneration of the human mind. So that's the uses that are eternal. So the work of self-examination and repentance or metanoia, this is really what a life of worship is. It's the interior things, and then the exteriors follow from that. So if the exteriors are separated from the interiors, then what you are dealing with are the firstborn of Egypt. And they won't survive, because they can't, because they are actually opposed to interior work being done. So the firstborn of Egypt, which is that which is born of the senses and the belief that what the senses convey is true, even where they oppose what the word says is true, that's the problem. So believing that the feeling that I have life in myself, or drawing a conclusion from that feeling that I do have life in myself, that my life is self-generated, is a crucial error, which shuts the Lord out, because the truth is that the Lord is the only life. And if you're in the belief that you are that self-generating life, then you shut out what is of the Lord. The Lord can't enter into that, can't receive light into that, because the belief has shut the door on it. And so there has to be this gradual process of coming to see things as they are, or as the word says they are, and to have that rule over the mind and our sense of existing in the appearance of being an autonomous, independent being, but in the knowledge that it is just that, an appearance, but it's a necessary appearance. So that brings a really important aspect to the concept of use. So there are spiritual uses which have to do with the work of self-examination and metanoia. So self-examination, if you just flip that a bit, so it is the examination of the nature of the self that we so earnestly believe in. So that takes it to a different level of work. And then you have the external uses, which are actually called the benefactions of charity. So charity is inner work. And then you have the benefactions of charity, which is what we would normally feel is tied to external uses, employment, you know, being faithful and just and your dealings with others, reaching out to others, all of that. Because as soon as you engage in exterior uses, you put yourself in a position where you're confronted with your motives. You can't escape that. So the whole encouragement to external use is not to gain merit or benefit in that sense. The purpose of engaging in external uses is reflection on what is present, because proprium will be right there looking to claim merit and using it to cover its own self so that the work isn't done. But if you see this relationship between, let's call them spiritual uses and natural uses, then the natural uses support the spiritual uses because it enables a life of self-examination and repentance. That's how the process works. So, you know, we're not doing external uses to earn heavenly entry. Heavenly entry only comes through rejecting proprium. But the external uses form a basis for being able to see proprium at work. And once it's seen, the Lord can then work to bring about our liberation as we respond. So we need to be in both external and internal forms of use. And the two things shouldn't be separated from one another, because if they are, you'll always be in a natural state, although you might think you're spiritually advanced because of the knowledge that you have. Again, it comes back to this idea of faith alone and knowledge being the ground for one's connection to the Lord, which, you know, we know it's not. And so you have this relationship between the interior uses, which is the application of the word to our states of mind, and exterior uses, which is what we do on an external basis. And it's through exterior forms of use that we come into contact with our motives if we care to reflect. And some of these things are described as pride in our own intelligence, all those elements of proprial life, the claiming of the good for oneself, taking honor and glory to oneself. All of this is able to be reflected back to us as we engage in external uses, because we will engage in them from that sense of self that we believe we are. And it is revealed through that process. Now, the work of self-examination and repentance in that state of coming into contact with the tendency to claim what is the Lord's to ourself, to derive a life on reputation and gain and all of those things, which is all the infernal proprium at work, can only be seen as we engage with external life with a reflective attitude. And then what happens is that we are bringing an internal use to the external. The external then can begin to serve the internal. And when that happens, then what you're doing there, or what you're experiencing there, is the uniting of charity and faith, right? They're becoming united because the faith or the understanding of things is starting to reflect what has to be done, or what the responsibility for a human being is so far as their spiritual life and eternal welfare is concerned. So these things are all interrelated. And so we participate in life in order to see what it is that stands opposed to the Lord. And then we apply things internally to an internal use, and that inner use then becomes something that can, over time, infill external uses, so that no thought is given to the self acquiring anything from those external uses. They're just done. They're just there. They're not something that I need, you know, inverted commas around the eye. They're not something I need to bolster my false self. And the very fact that there is a felt need to do that is because of the shaky ground on which that self is. So it's constantly looking for externalized affirmation. And that's what separates the external from the internal. So if you're working with the text with a view to self-examination and metanoia, then that's a spiritual use. That's definitely a spiritual use. You know, forming a task, allowing the word to govern what's happening on a daily basis. And by that, it's bringing what's happening into the light of what you've been offered from the word. And you know, something comes out of that. You don't necessarily notice a lot, but then there will be these big shifts that occur and suddenly you realize that the Lord has really been working to bring you into a different state or a different understanding of things that's going to further the work of self-examination.